a beautiful mess. A beautiful mess, yeah. Life is a beautiful mess. A beautiful mess, yes. Life is a beautiful mess. A beautiful mess. I'm trying, I'm crying, I feel like I'm dying. I'm doing my best.
All right, welcome back everybody to Being Human and Other Shit. I'm Stacy.
I am Melissa. And today we are on the ancestral homeland of the Nisenan people. We acknowledge them as the past, present, and future caretakers of this land. And today we have a very special guest. My dear friend and coworker.
Our dear friend, bitch.
Stacey, jealous as fuck. Tess, and she's going to talk to us about her trip to doing an ayahuasca retreat. Is that how you would...
Yes.
Identify it as. And just your spiritual journey. I think you're one of the most spiritual people that I've ever met. And I love you dearly. And I can't wait to hear your story because you've kept it on lock and key since you've been back. So we grabbed you right away.
Yes.
So.
This is going to be the fresh download.
Fresh download.
Right, I feel like we locked you down like in May.
Oh, yeah. And we said, okay, let's make sure we do it like right when she gets back because too much time is going to pass.
Yep. Yeah.
We were worried.
A freshie.
Yeah. We were worried about not being able to do it today, which is funny. And then you mentioned like the following week and I was like, no, it has to be like 2-3 days after.
Yeah,
we
still wanted your beholder hurt from all the pain.
Oh, and it does.
And you're barfing.
That's a good update for your butthole. We're all about the buttholes on this conversation.
Yo, there's going to be plenty of poop and barf combos coming up here.
I'm here for it. That was this morning.
Not from ayahuasca, but being 40 and trying to drink like you're 30.
If you shit your demons out, Stacey, I feel sorry for you.
Every single day.
She questions her whole life.
Yeah.
So tell us just a little bit. I know before we recorded, I loved your response to like having a story. So tell me a little bit about like you not really identifying with us having a story.
What I can say is this is my second time doing the week of ceremony. I went last year also. And my last year experience was so different. Like I went in with like a pretty raw heart and got my ass handed to me in a really big way.
Yeah.
And I came out of that experience like life changed. And it was really, really impactful. And like, I took a lot of things that happened to me that I was suffering from and traumas and dealt with them last time. This time was a totally different experience. And I went into it with such like a calmer, more level head. Mm-hmm. And I didn't go with like specific heartbreaks. I went to like get dusted off spiritually a little bit and to like, rather than deal with things that happened to me, to deal with myself.
Yeah.
And because of that, I decided when I went, I decided that I really didn't want to make this about my story anymore. I don't want my life to be about my story anymore. I don't want the details of things that happened to me to be what I am and who I am and dictate my future. So I separate them.
Isn't that so fucking refreshing?
It is. It's like pure freedom when you actually let yourself do that. And then when I went, one of the shamans even brought it up. So like there's so many things that aligned for me on this trip. And he was saying like, you know, when you're truly starting to heal things, it's no longer about your story. The details and the things that happen don't matter. It's how it made you feel. Mm-hmm. So every single thing that somebody's ever done or said to you, that's not really what matters. But how you felt about yourself is what you have to work through. Mm-hmm. So instead of dredging up all of these events in my life or like things people said to me or work or relationships or whatever things hurt, I went in with how I feel about myself because that's so ultimately what I need to work through.
Yeah.
So I had a really different experience this week than before.
Do you feel like it was better or worse, or were there more pros or cons like knowing what you were getting yourself into this time? Because I feel like you got a little bit more nervous going than the first time, because I obviously knew you both times.
Yeah,
you
went, this time.
I was so excited the first time, like, oh my God, this is gonna be so fucking cool, and like didn't know what was about to happen. And now I was nervous as shit leading up because I was like, I'm gonna fucking die at least once. I'm gonna fucking like scream barf all week and shit my guts out. Like,
you know what's crazy is when we were talking about it in Fort Bragg, I was low key like, just you talking about it, I'm like, I'm never fucking
doing
this.
That's what everybody says.
I was literally so interested in it. Not that I'm not, but like, I was so interested in it because we have another friend, Lauren, who's done it, I think, twice as well. And but when you're described, and I think because you and I like have similar personalities, we're so fucking descriptive and like totally. Abrasive and aggressive, and you're just like, oh, you fucking violent puke.
Yes.
And I'm like,
yes,
oh my god, I'm terrible. Like,
I know.
And for me, I'm like, there's gonna be some shit that happens.
It is. Yeah. It is that, and that is all of those things are not even exaggerations. Those are facts that that's gonna happen. So signing yourself up for that, like, who the fuck wants to sign up for that? Nobody wants to do that. Mm-hmm. But when you're brave enough to go through literal hell to get to the other side, like, there's nothing like it. There's nothing like what's on the other side.
Yeah. What was the time frame or like time difference from the first trip to this trip?
I went, you mean like when I went, when yeah, did I like go last year? Ago, I went last February. So it's been like a year and a half. And
oh,
before
shit, it's
I,
that close?
Yeah.
I think for some reason it was like 5 years.
No, this was a year and a half ago. And I already prepaid for my trip next year. I'm going back. I know. I'm a lifer.
You're basically
I'm
you a have lifer. A timeshare there now?
They're selling residence packages. You can live there.
Oh my gosh.
This is in Costa Rica, right? Yeah. Like, can you just kind of give like a background on the resort?
So
I've heard about a lot of Peru retreats, but
it's like, there's a ton of different ayahuasca places and in retreats and stuff that you can go to. But the reason I love this place is because A, it's bougie. Like, if you're going to go do like ayahuasca and basically like mop the floor with your fucking face, like, let me go somewhere that's nice on clean. The other hand. Like, let me not go like shit on a fucking like dirt pad in a hut. No thanks. Yeah. You know what I mean? So, this place is like one of the top of the line places to go. And I'll tell you, like, it's not really about just the ayahuasca, like the shamans, the classes, the speakers, the helpers, everyone who works on that place is dedicated to your experience and your growth. And they're so kind and so loving. They treat you like family, like legitimately, like everybody, the housekeeper will know your name. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah.
I remember really, you saying that, like, you would walk by literally anybody and like,
they'll be like, hi Tess, how are you? Yeah. Like, they remembered me from a year and a half ago. How many people do they see all the time?
Dude. Yeah. And then they walk away and like, that's the bitch that was puking them.
Her shit was
she was the first one to start yakking. They're so kind and they're so freaking nice and like they're so amazing. So it's not even just about the ayahuasca experience. It actually is, in my opinion, the experience that I got at Rhythmia itself.
Yeah.
And they consider this place in Costa Rica a blue zone. And I don't know a ton about that, but for whatever reason, like the blue zone gives like these amazing health properties to people. So just that place in the world itself, people live longer, people live healthier. It's a completely different way of life.
That's dope.
You're in the jungle. Like, I've got videos of fucking monkeys and parrots and like an iguana that kept like scoping me out the whole time. Like, mm-hmm. You're surrounded in wildlife. But you're also like laying by a pool. And so this place gives you like, they take care of all your meals. So you do clean eating for a week prior. All of your meals are completely clean eating. You're not supposed to drink or smoke or take any drugs for like a week prior. You're not supposed to have sex with anybody like for 72 hours before or after. Yeah, so much for that. But like you have like all these rules because the intention is to clear your energy, energy and to protect your energy. Clearing more so beforehand, but coming back, you're exposed to all this shit right off the bat, right? And the whole thing about purging is it's not just a physical purge of throwing up and shitting and yawning and crying and screaming and laughing and all these things. It's you're ejecting a lot, your energy. So you're making space for a rebirth. You're essentially becoming reborn. And that's why when you're on your period, you can't participate in ceremony either, because women naturally have that shedding mm-hmm. and rebirth. That's just a cycle that we already have. And the energy is too much to do both. So you're emptying your soul out. So that you can then start to decide what to fill it with, not fill it with things that happened to you, not fill it with things that people said to you or made you feel about yourself in the world. Like, you're in this safe womb so you can fill yourself up with like the love and the gratitude and all of the beautiful things that you want to. And then that way you can kind of go out and be like the light. That's mm-hmm. the point of all of it.
That's so beautiful. Yeah,
it
so
really
empowering.
Is amazing.
Like, it's well, so
shit,
empowering.
A 5-star place.
Yeah. And then you like just probably walk away with so much gratitude for like having that privilege to be able to do that
all
right?
day long. The whole time I'm there, I'm like, dude, I'm so grateful. I'm so like, just, this is such a special place and the people there are so special and you bond with everybody that you're there. You make lifelong friendships with people because you're seeing people with their ego stripped. Mm-hmm. You're seeing people at their most vulnerable. You're hearing about people. You'll be sitting next to somebody that you don't even remember their name, maybe. Yeah. And they're telling you that they've been like, you know, their deepest, darkest secrets. And you hold space for each other. And it doesn't matter who they are or what their story is. It's just about holding space for one another. And it's there's no other place like it.
I love it. This doesn't remind me of Vipassana at all. But the like being able to connect with people's energy versus like, you don't know them, they're strangers mm-hmm. to you. So like, that was one of my favorite things. And that was a silent retreat. So it's not like we were connecting by stories or anything. It's just like literally sitting next to somebody, feeling their energy mm-hmm. and just being full, like overflowing with like compassion and love
yeah.
and just like understanding. And we were meant to be at the same like space and time with one another. Like yep. it's
understanding truly how to give love.
Yeah.
And consciously giving love in its purest form that we don't practice generally when we're not thinking about it.
You know? The noise. I also just love the fact that like we're not tying in like our past to being our identity. And so many of us do that. And so many of us, like hopefully the ones that are doing the work, we're like constantly trying to cut that tie of like all these things, the baggage that we're carrying with us is like not, that's not me.
Yep.
That's things that happened to me. That's things that I've experienced, but like, that's not me.
So there's three mantras that you work through when you get there. And as you do ceremony, the goal to get your miracle by the end of the week is to have completed all three of these intentions. And the first one is show me who I've become. As you can imagine, that is the most brutal ass whipping that you're going to get.
That's like raw.
It is raw. So the idea is you take the medicine and through the medicine spirit enters you and she's testing you. She's figuring out like all your shit, like everything that you've been through, everything you think about yourself, everything you think you know about yourself. And then she's going to make you as sick as you need to be to surrender, accept, and understand who you are. And if you have an ego, if you're controlling, if you have any type of type A personality, like you're going to get fucked up.
Yeah.
Because we are so, we're holding on so tight. So we have to be manhandled more than people that are a little bit more submissive in general. In those ways.
I mean, I am submissive. You know what I mean? Sorry, I had to. Put that on record, motherfuckers.
You know what I mean, though, right? Like, so she tests all of us and she's not going to leave you alone until you get the fucking message.
I want to know about like what, like walk us through like you get there. Day two, you're doing this. Date like, okay. What's a typical week like?
I'll walk you through.
I really like want people ceremony, to like know how it works.
I'll
you
walk
know?
You through the four ceremonies too. Please. And then I can tell you like my own experience with the four ceremonies versus the last one. So like again, the last one, and I think when you first start going through the stuff, you are going in with your story.
Yeah.
And so again, I feel so grateful that I got to go this time with a totally different mentality. Right. Mm-hmm. So you get there and you settle in, and day one you have classes. So these are either classes to help you understand as much as they can try and fucking help you understand what's about to happen to you medicine wise, how it's going to make you feel that it's normal. It's normal to be miserable, to be honest, but somebody can say that to you. Doesn't mean anything until you get in it though. Like, so they do their best to explain it to you. And it's like, it's a plant integration class is what it is. Mm-hmm. They tell you about the aliens. They tell you about like all the stuff that's reported to happen to you. Kind of, they talk to you about the three intentions. I'm sorry. I didn't even tell you the other two intentions. It was, merge me back with my soul is the second one. So show me who I've become.
Yeah.
That's the brutal one. Then finally, when you've put your ego down and you see who you truly are out of this body, merge me back with my soul. Like as if you're a baby before anything's fucked you up. Like merge me back with who that is. Once you do that, then it's heal my heart is the third one. Like let me heal and forgive all the stuff. So that's the three intentions that you go through. So you learn that in day one. You learn what your mission is and why you're here, and you learn about the light workers and the light warriors and what brought us special people, because there's about 50 to 60 people every week that go, that you're doing all this together with. Then you do breath work, some really, really intense breath work classes that they have. So that was Sunday night when I got there. Mm-hmm. Monday, you have the plant integration class. Then we have ceremony that night.
Oh, shit. So they just jump right into it.
There's not a ton of time to get ready. You came to do ceremony. Like, we're rocking ceremony. Yeah. So at 5:30 on Monday night, you start ceremony. And it's like the first brew that they give you is the brew for Mother Ayahuasca to learn about you, learn what all your shit is. Mm-hmm. So in my experiences, it's one of the more gentle nights. So
it's a tea, right?
It's disgusting, filthy fucking tasting cup of shit is what it is, dude. It's gnarly.
It the shits from Guest Pass?
Dude, it's like
worse than eating raw mushrooms?
Absolutely. It's in my, I mean, yes.
Maybe that's why people are barfing.
It is. I'll be honest with you. Absolutely. Like the taste and the smell and it just in your body is partially what makes you sick. So yeah. Like they give you a shot glass and it's like mud.
Ew.
And it tastes fucking nasty. And so for me, like, I don't like, they push you to take more cups. Like they want you to keep taking medicine. They don't want you to just take one cup. So, you know, it's so nasty. Just the thought of when I'm already all fucked up and have already been barfing or feeling like I want to barf, to go and get another cup of that is really tricky.
Well, that feeling of like having to barf is, yes, to me is worse and than
it,
actually
and
doing
it. And it doesn't like leave sweaty. You alone. Yeah. You wish you would barf sometimes, you know, and you can't. Like you can't force the barf either.
Yeah.
It's your ass is hers. Your ass is spirit's. There's no decision making here.
Yeah.
And that's what you have to learn and understand is there's no fucking decision making. You don't get to decide anything. You literally just need to show up. Just show up and be present and let her take you. And that's the best advice you can give anybody for whatever that means. So she tests you on the first night. You go through the things you go through, you know. Mm-hmm. And then the second night is masculine night. And it is indeed a masculine energy. Let's make no lie. So the second day you do a couple more classes. You do the class of like plant integration number two. Like, holy shit, what'd you go through on night one? Like, this is what to expect. And then they have this beautiful class that's called The Answer Is You. And it's about understanding how to take all these things happening to you and understand them for who you want to be and how to be a better person because of them. How to like stop lying to yourself.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Stop being a victim. Mm-hmm. Take responsibility for every single thing that's happening in your life and move forward with intention, with purpose. Like lead with your heart. Mm-hmm. And don't forget, don't get confused. Don't forget all of these lessons. So they have those classes for you too, which it to me are the best parts of the whole experience.
Yeah. Because you're just, we're like conditioned to, you know, feel sorry for ourselves or have excuses for why we have poor behavior or whatever.
It's how we survive. We're so hurt. We get so hurt that the only way we can tolerate that we're so hurt is to protect ourselves by being a victim sometimes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And saying like, this person did this thing to me and they broke my heart so fucking bad. I can't love again. I can't put myself out there again. I can't do all these things because I was hurt. And we live like that. Mm-hmm. And then we take that and try and make decisions.
Yeah.
Like, of course they're going to be fucked up. And of course we're going to keep like reliving our miseries because we don't get out of our story. Mm-hmm. We don't leave that behind.
Yeah, it's like a reel you're on.
Yes. Like it's a reel you're on because it hurts so much. Right. Yeah. So it's all just this wide lesson of how to like see that clearly, how to see better. Mm-hmm. So that's day two. Then you go back 5:30 at night, ceremony number two, and it is a male energy. It's really intense. Very strong and, to be honest, kind of harsh.
Yeah.
Most people, including me last year and this year, got my fucking ass handed to me in ceremony number two.
What's the time frame as far as like once you take it and you're in ceremony? How long does it last?
20 minutes. You're out like that till like 2 a.m. maybe.
So from like 5:30 p.m. to 2 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I just don't want
to. It's a long night. Yeah. And then after I tell you about the nights and I actually tell you what goes on in ceremony, like what my experience is, you're going to crack up. Like it's wild in there.
I really, it's fucking wild.
Yeah.
There was a lot of shitting.
Good.
for sure. I had some close calls, my friend.
Dude, your fucking colon's never been more clean.
Dude, and you get colon cleanses. So, dude, I'm telling you, dude, my butthole got so much action.
I feel like your butthole already gets so much action in America. Like.
On the regular.
So ceremony two, super brutal, like the strength of man shows up, and it's why it's been a lesson for me in the last few years to help me, frankly, like one of my issues showing respect to men has always been an issue for me for my story reasons, right? Yep. For my story reasons. And so learning to give respect to the male energy was really important for me to lead a healthier, more balanced life. And he did not disappoint.
So are the shamans like talking you through things?
Oh, like, to it's pull what's this funny out? Is people are like, who helps you? And I'm like laughing because that's it's finding you? Love and peace in the chaos. There is no helping you. They pray for you. They come.
But they're
in,
there on site.
They're there. There's a bunch of helpers.
Like there's medical professionals, right?
Nope, there's one paramedic in case you're actually dying, which doesn't happen. You're high as fuck.
Yeah.
And you think you're dying and your body and crazy shit is happening to you physically and mentally. So you freak the fuck out. And so, but there's no one that they can't help you. What are they going to do for you? You're high as fuck. You can't stop it. There's no like, let me give you the shot and it's going to shut the ayahuasca off.
So
all you have to ride it out. Yeah. So as much as you're praying, and this happened to me on Tuesday, I was praying for someone to kill me. I was like, I can't take it anymore. I cannot do this anymore.
See Jenny's
I
face?
Was praying for somebody to drown me. I was outside fanning myself off, saying like, please, somebody just kill me. Just kill me. And I was praying, asking for someone to come along and fucking kill me.
Have
I couldn't take
to
it anymore.
Kill themselves there?
No. You start
just so high.
Well, you start screaming. You start screaming and freaking out. And that happened to me last year. I started to flip the fuck out. They all come and like pray over you and do their stuff to you. Worst case scenario, literally they'll go and they'll tie you down and sit on you so you can't hurt yourself. I know that sounds
that
terrible.
One housekeeper that's like, hello, Tess, is like, give me 10
this
grand.
This bitch, yeah.
Fucking kill you right now.
I know. I'll fucking drown you, bitch.
Yeah, give me 10 grand, bitch. Done.
You're like, you
Tess.
Look like fucking.
Hello, Miss Tess.
Yeah, you didn't tip me last time you were here, ho.
I'll kill you, bitch.
So, I mean, like, I could see if you had the freedom to go, like, jump off a cliff, you might, but that's not, you're confined. It's not what's happening. So, but you want to. I literally was out loud asking for somebody to drown me. I couldn't stand being alive anymore.
I like how you
picked
drowning of all things.
I don't know.
Like,
the last time it wasn't.
Somebody set me on fire.
It's like the worst.
Because I felt like I was on fire. That's why I wanted someone to kill me and to drown me, because I wanted the relief of water. I know that's like kind of a logical way to ask to be killed while on psychedelics, but that's what my mind came up with, right?
Well, that makes total sense if you felt like you're on fire.
I felt like I was on fire and I was going to explode. I was putting water on myself and it felt like I was putting boiling water on myself. That's how fucking hot I felt. Jeez. And so I was outside
like
on the porch, like taking my shirt off, and I was out there going, fuck, fucking kill me. Like I was out there doing that.
I would have loved a recording of this though.
Dude, it's a madhouse. It's a madhouse in there. It is insane. I'm one person and this is happening with 50 people. So
sounds like my classroom every day.
Dude.
Literally.
Do they take your phones or anything, or you have
you
freedom?
Can't have phones in there. Yeah.
Like not for the ceremony.
Not for ceremony. Yeah.
But you can have them throughout.
Like
while
room.
On the trip, you just can't have it in ceremony. So I was like out there, I'm gonna die. And this like shaman helper just comes up and he whips out a fan and he just starts fanning me. And
yeah,
I was like,
clutch.
And
Did
you're
you
not supposed
him?
To talk. I know you're not supposed to talk. He was like this long haired, like Jesus angel. And like, so you're not supposed to say anything. Like, to each other. And I look at him and I was like, man, it's hot as fuck in here. And I like said it like that to him. And this guy's like Costa Rican, probably doesn't even speak English. And he's fanning me and he goes, mm-hmm. That's all he says to me. And I was like, looking at him, and I was like, man, okay, you're right. I can do this. Like, it is all I needed. I just needed homeboy
you
to come and fan me.
Costa Rican Jesus to fan you with the paper
fan. Costa Rican Jesus to come and fan me with the paper and say, mm-hmm. And just acknowledge my feelings. That's all I needed. And I fucking got a grip. I spent 20 minutes cooling the fuck down, laying there outside on the floor.
I would have been naked, dude.
And then they don't let you get naked, but they let you get down to your Jones. Because, dude, and so I was
no
laying
laundry
there.
Day underwear.
And then I started to, like, spirit understood that was my limit.
Yeah.
And she taught me a fucking lesson. And I can tell you a little bit of why she taught me that lesson. And I got it. And then it stopped hurting and I had a beautiful time and I actually spent the rest of the night dancing in the moonlight outside.
Oh,
damn, like, bitch.
So tell us about this lesson.
I'll try and stay on top. The third night, same thing. It's female night though. Totally different vibe. It's all comforting and dancing and beauty and like moonlight. And so it's a totally different vibe. That's a beautiful night. And then the last night is the Colombian night. So I was like, my people, all right. So it's called Yahe. It's a nastier, thicker brew that you drink that makes you purge more. It gets grosser and it makes you purge more. It's the final purge. So for people that had not purged for the first three nights, this shit is going to make you purge.
Wait, people actually did not puke? Some people don't.
Some people don't. And some people do every fucking time. It's personalized.
Yeah.
Like it's not a recipe like for what one cup does to me. It's what's going to do to you. You can take six cups. There was a little ass girl who was like 20 years old. She took six fucking cups on night one. And I take one and I'm like on the moon somewhere. Like, you know what I mean? It's different because of who you are. And like, this is why I truly believe that there's spirit coming through the medicine. I really do believe this from personal experience.
Yeah.
She's giving you what you fucking need.
Yeah.
And if you have a block up and you're unwilling to open yourself up, you might take six cups because she's got to fucking get into your system that way. And you're not sensitive to it. You're adverse to it. Right. So the last night is long as fuck. It's from like 7:30 at night till like 10:30 in the morning.
Oh my gosh.
Jesus.
I mean, the sun comes up and you're all fucked up still. Like it's a brutal night, but at the same time, it's really beautiful. They do in like every shaman comes and they do individual blessings for every single person in the room. They're doing their, like, they have this thing called like, what's it called? I don't remember, but they like chug it in their mouth and spit it all over you. They're hitting you with all their leaves.
You guys probably
shit.
Look fucking nuts, like, coming out of there.
Yeah. Like they're hitting you with all their leaves and their feathers and they're wiping you with oil, wiping you down with oil and praying on
fucking
you.
Fucking hand jobs.
Dude, lubing you up. Yeah. You know what I mean? And it's my favorite part of the whole fucking week. It is so beautiful. The energy getting infused to you by these fucking angels whose sole purpose in life is to pray for you. Like, you know, who have taken so much medicine and completely understand, like what this is about, and they are just infusing you with love. It's fucking amazing. It's beautiful. Like I cry every time. I bawl every time they're doing it because I just I've just, when do you feel love like that in this world? You know what I mean? And these are fucking strangers. So it is such a release. It's the most beautiful thing ever. Like I would go back just for that night alone.
Can I just skip to that part and just go to that night? Because everything else scary as fuck.
You could. You could.
Do those shamans like live there? Or do they rotate?
They rotate. Yeah.
Okay. I was like, because that's a lot of drugs.
So most of them will all come on night four, but the shamans from night one are different from night two or different from night three. And then they all go to night four.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Awesome. Who's okay. So is Costa Rican Jesus there?
Yeah. Yeah. Costa Rican Jesus with the fan. There's a bunch of Costa Rican Jesuses though. It was like four of them look like that.
They're all, we can't just have one Jesus.
No.
We gotta have a Jesus rotation.
Yeah, they need a Jesus for every night. No, they're young people. Some of them are older. Like some of the shamans are older, but some of them are younger. Like the Costa Rican Jesus with the fan was probably in his 20s.
Damn.
I know.
Baby Jesus.
Yeah.
Baby Jesus. Like juvenile Jesus. You know what I mean?
No, because as soon as you said juvenile, I started thinking, singing Back That Ass Up in my head. I didn't think juvenile like you were saying.
That was Dancing Under the Moon.
Yeah. Night. He's like, Tess, you're hot.
I know.
Fan you. Okay, so what's the lesson? I want to know the lesson.
So I can tell you, I learned a lesson every fucking night of the thing. So night one, when she was teaching, like learning about me in this trip, like I really got to go about this in a very different way. I found that a lot of the people were like, really finding comfort in me as somebody who actually decided to go back and do this again. They were like, okay, like I'll survive. So a lot of people just wanted to like hold my hand and like come to me for help. And like, as much as I was trying to mind my own business, I couldn't help but want to like help people.
Yeah.
So just help them keep on track. Like throughout all of it, probably six people dropped out. It was too hard and they just couldn't do it anymore. Shit.
Which that's probably not uncommon at all, huh?
All men, just saying.
Ooh, so like, well, you said that at camping, you said that there's always people that drop.
It's so physically uncomfortable. They cannot tolerate signing up for this another night. I get it. It is really challenging. So
well, how big is the group?
about 50 people. Well, it ended up, it ended at 50. So it was at like 56 and six by the end, six dropped out. So, I got a lot of visions right off the bat. I got a lot of visions. I had a spirit guide through the whole week, which was a spider of all things, because I'm terrified of spiders, which is funny.
Yeah, that's interesting.
But spiders showed up in every single one of my visions and stayed with me the whole night. And I wasn't scared of them. So I recognized it as not an actual spider, right? One thing that I was also shown a lot throughout these trips was really dark, ugly images. I feel like I continuously got given, like, I was seeing a lot of corpses. Mm. I was seeing a lot of death, like bloody death. I was seeing just a lot of really dark things, and they didn't scare me. Like, none of them scared me. I was just an observer at this point.
I will tell you though, if I go to your fucking house and there's spiders everywhere, we're going to have a problem.
There is. There's a fucking huge black widow outside my door right now that I'm like, fool, you need to go get that shit, man.
Yeah.
That
ain't your pet. They'll let it go.
I know. Believe
me. She followed you back.
Yeah.
If I can get the hell out of my house.
Yeah.
Want you. No. So yeah, it was just a lot of really dark, ugly things, and I was just an observer of them all. And this, remember this, because as I tell you my last vision, it'll all make sense to you a little bit. So that all happened, and I was doing really well. I was very nauseous. I was feeling like people are screaming, crying, laughing, barfing, pooping, rolling on the floor, flailing. Someone's having to like carry them to the bat. Like, it's a fucking madhouse in there. No joke.
That alone is traumatizing.
It can be. So at one point on night one, I've got the chick on the right, like writhing in pain on the floor, barfing and screaming. I've got the one on the left, barfing in her bucket. I got the one in front of me, barfing in her bucket, like scream barfing. And I'm sitting there doing this. And I'm just hanging on, man. Like, I am feeling super barfy, but I cannot quite barf yet. Oh, so God. I'm just sitting up, and I did this a lot, and this helped me a lot. I just leaned back and forth, and I would just rock like a crazy person. I would just rock in my fucking
whatever
bed.
Whatever the fuck you gotta do.
And just scratch my legs. Shit in Midtown.
Period.
And And I was just like, I hear you. That. I see you. I feel you. Thank you. Like, I just kept saying that. I feel you. I hear you. See you. Thank you. Thank you for this discomfort. Like, thank you for discomfort. I'm learning. Like, give it to me. And so I did this for a long time, and I was able to suppress the barf and not have it happen, and just go with the visions that I was getting, these messages, right?
I feel like this is what you were doing in my bathroom.
It probably was that time.
How close are you to the other people?
Directly next,
like,
to you.
Me and you right now? Or closer?
Sometimes closer, but yes, that
and
close.
Does what is happening to them bother you, or are you very much in your own? Like,
so if you are, it can. You're already so uncomfortable that you can find yourself being irritated.
Yeah.
So one of the things that I was laughing about, and it's actually one of the things that I acknowledged about myself, which was one of my first lessons, was that I have a very high tolerance for discomfort. I have an extremely high tolerance for things that are uncomfortable. So people are going apeshit around me, and I actually flourish in the chaos, I found. Like, all of it going on,
and I'm
just like, yeah, this is so great. Everyone's healing. Like,
you know what I mean? Let it out.
Continue the barfing. Like, yeah, like, I, it didn't bother me. But then little weird things, like somebody blowing their nose a weird way, I'd be like, shut the fuck up. Like, I was so irritated about it.
You would say that a lot?
Oh, we would all say shit. People were screaming shit at each other all night. Like, somebody would be crying and screaming, and someone else would be like, shut the fuck up. Get them out of here. Like, people are screaming at each
other
too. Goddamn. Because you're so
irritable.
It's
like a UFC fight.
It's mad in there. It's a madhouse, I'm telling you.
Have you ever heard anybody, both of you, have you guys heard somebody violently puke before?
Yes.
Have you?
I don't know.
Trust me, you would fucking know. A former friend of mine, that's
dude,
on another level.
Yeah.
Where, like, I'd be like, don't take that shot, last shot, because you're already over the edge. And tomorrow, you're going to be, you're saying this, I'm literally envisioning him doing this.
It's not Jenny?
It's like screaming with everything push you have in your body. Yeah. From your toes out your mouth.
Yes.
Screaming. Throwing up and heaving. It's wild.
Imagine somebody puts a fucking tube right here like they do in the movies. And there's
projectile
vomit. Yes. That's literally what I'm picturing when you're saying that.
That's what it's like.
So that happened to me when I was in high school.
Dookie yet.
Well, I tried ecstasy when I was in high school, and I remember like projectile. Oh, like,
that was last week. That wasn't in high school.
I know.
That was last week. That was last week for this house. You don't call me out. I love also that you're like this source of comfort. That's not surprising at all. I think that you don't always acknowledge that about yourself, but you are such a source of comfort for like so many people, myself included. Aww. Like,
yeah, me too.
You're such a like caring, compassionate, like guide for all
of
us.
You're like the most dry, fucking caring person ever. Like, I really do love you. I'm like, are you sure?
And outside of ayahuasca, fucking people blowing their nose really does annoy her. Depending on how much action you got.
It is pretty fucking annoying.
Boogers are gross in general, so you know what I mean.
Don't ever be a teacher, girl.
Oh, I can't. Like, I can take all day. Little kids' shit and barf, I can take, but a second there's like a booger on a kid's face, I want to slap the shit out of them. Get that fucking booger out of
here. I don't know about this shit.
Exactly,
I don't
the
do the boogers, man. So anyway, that all happened. And at one point I did get a little overwhelmed because everyone around me was like fucking going through it. And I remember thinking like, hang on, Tess, you can do this. And I was like, I got to get the fuck out of here. Like, I got to get out of here. So I grabbed my blanket and I went to the bathroom because I was like, I got to pee. And as soon as I got in the bathroom, I started thinking of shit and other people's poo and people's butts on the toilet. And like poo particles in the air that I'm breathing. Like, I started to get all like over analytical about it. And the fact that I was already nauseous because of the medicine. And I had half a second to get a bucket in my, under my mouth because, and luckily they have buckets everywhere. Yeah. I snatched a bucket up and standing up just started to throw up into the bucket. So I was in the bathroom on the floor on all fours. Like,
thank God I was at a 5-star resort.
Bucket. Right. And so I barfed in the bathroom in private and then got it out there. And then I didn't barf anymore. I didn't purge anymore the first night. And I ended up, they have a fire outside and they say only take to the fire things that you want to get rid of forever and be sure that you want to get rid of these things forever and never pick it up again. And so I went out to the fire and, like shed a tear or two, but really what I put down in the fire was probably the biggest takeaway for me. And honestly was like the biggest show me who I become. It was the thing that I went there for. And I put out the fire. I don't need to hate myself anymore. Mm-hmm. And that's been the thing for my whole fucking life that mm-hmm. has fucked me up.
Yeah.
Is all the things that I always felt, all the stories, right? Always came down to me feeling like I was somebody who I had to hate mm-hmm. and that I was this thing that was this unlovable person, right?
Yeah.
And so I put that down and I don't have to hate myself ever again. And like the freedom that came with that mm-hmm. and the ability to love myself and understand that like that's been the thing that's held me back forever for 38 fucking years.
When I think people don't realize that too, especially when like you're such a strong person, right? And like you put one foot in front of the other and flourish every day. Like we all have that shit, you know? So to like let that go, that's amazing.
And what came when I said that into the fire and I released that into the fire, I went and I laid down this hammock and I started to get flooded for the first time in my life with things I loved about myself.
Aww.
And it was fucking wild.
Dude, Melissa and I could shout off like 50 things right now about that we love about you.
But it's these things for your own internal dialogue,
right? And there's so many people carrying that, right? Like,
that's so many people are going through this too, yeah.
Totally on brand, by the way, for you to be in a hammock when you're doing that.
I know, right?
Dude, she gets like her own line of hammocks.
Dude.
The ayahuasca hammock.
The ham hammock.
By
Tess.
The butthole hammock. I was going to say the butthole hammock.
I love that so much though, because it takes a lot to be like that vulnerable, to be like, I don't like myself, or there's a lot of things that I hate about myself, because that's hard for any of us to say. And there's lots of things that we carry with ourselves that we're, you know, are the driving factors to a lot of the things that we're doing and acting, how we're acting, and people's anger or anxieties or anything. That's mm-hmm. like, that's where it's stemming from, is how we feel about ourselves.
Yes.
Well, you're always going to be balancing that. I think regardless, obviously, I don't know about your experience, but I do think that's something you always are balancing, right? Like for me, as I get old, it is true, at least in my experience, as everyone's elder, that you do start to just, I mean, I don't think I've ever had a real issue with loving myself, but I've found as I've gotten, maybe in my 30s, I was like, had a lot of people kind of attacking me for parts mm-hmm. of my personality that I always liked. Mm-hmm. And I think that because of my story and my traumas that I've went, got put through and then put myself through, there was parts of myself that I'm like, oh no, this is a defense mechanism, right? Right. When I talk about like, oh, I'll beat that bitch's ass, or that was my whole personality in my 20s and a teenager.
Yeah.
Because I was taught violence and that was like a defense.
And even when somebody does something bad to you, to hate that person is to hate yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. So many people could not understand. My sister and I had this conversation. I think I've even mentioned it with my last relationship. How did you not knowing, like when I found out he cheated on me, you didn't fuck his apartment up? You didn't break his phone? You didn't put your hands on him? I'm like, I grabbed my shit. I said a couple things. I felt myself escalating and I walked the fuck out because I love me and this has nothing to do with me. This is your shit. And I left and people could not understand that. And I'm like,
and that's a reflection.
They don't need to. They don't have to, but it's like, to me, when people were saying that, I'm like, that's a reflection. Your reaction is a reflection of how you feel about you. Absolutely. I value myself enough.
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely. And I think looking for that value and understanding that what things other people do have nothing to do with me.
Yeah.
But we don't, we tell ourselves the same story we told ourselves when we're children.
Yep.
And I've been telling myself this story since I was a small child. Mm-hmm. So whenever that happens, I go back to that place. Right. And so I felt like I just got this huge awakening of, I don't ever have to respond out of, I don't have to protect myself anymore.
Yeah.
That's what it correlates to not have to hate myself anymore means I don't have to protect myself in the ways that I still was. If somebody hurts me, I can still love them. And it doesn't mean that I'm a fool or I'm an idiot or I am a doormat or I'm this thing to be abused and like discarded as I always believed about myself, right?
Yeah.
I got to finally understand that like, I don't have to tolerate it, but I also don't need to pour anything into it. I simply can observe it for what it is and put it in a place that it goes.
Yeah.
And it doesn't go internally. It doesn't go in here.
Dude, how symbolic in the fire too. Like
in the fucking fire.
I will tell you, I am a fucking advocate as fuck for like putting shit in the fire, like writing it out and burning it. Like I just feel like that is such a good release.
Yeah. Well, we, the three of us did that on our camping.
We did. Yeah. Yeah.
And it's an amazing release.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love it.
Yeah.
All right.
So that was fucking night one.
That would have been enough for me. No.
You know what? I almost felt like it was. I was like, I just got so much out of that. You know what I mean? And at the same time, like I merged back with my soul. I understood I understand the soul that I am and has nothing to do with this. It is not Tess. That is just a name. Like it is none of this stuff.
I mean, I like that name.
You know what I mean? Like with the tickles at the end, but like it's none of that stuff.
Yeah.
Like this is all just for fun.
Yeah.
you know what I mean? And for the lessons. And again, like the lesson of all of this is to learn how to love as much as possible. That's the whole point of us being here, and all these things that get thrown at us to tell us not to do that are the test. That is Mother Ayahuasca hurting us and making us want to barf and scream and cry. That's all the stuff to see, like, woman, how strong are you? Be the strongest version of yourself. Continue to love through this pain. Mm-hmm. Continue to tolerate the discomfort because it is a gift. Discomfort is a fucking gift when you choose to see it that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So night two, I was like, fuck me. I was nervous because of last year. And so same thing. It started off where people are fucking losing their shit big time on night two. And
actual shit.
Yeah, like actual shit. And I was doing the same thing. I'm in my bed like, oh, I get it. I got this. Like, thank you. Thank you. And I was really in my mind thinking, oh, she's not going to like hand me my ass because I understand already that I need to surrender. And but in the back of my mind, I knew like, no, I'm not done. This is my ego trying to get away with this. Like, this is my ego trying to get out of this week without dying.
Yeah.
She was Homer Simpson.
I was trying to, back up into the fucking bushes on this. And she's like, no, 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 woman. Like you can't get away from
me. Gotcha, bitch.
I got you, bitch. So like lots of visuals, lots of spiders, more stuff, lots of just it. Like the sacred geometry is
overwhelming. So the sacred geometry and the patterns in the grids, I'm just getting hours of them. I'm just getting hours of intakes. The first time I went, Mother Ayahuasca, she showed me a lot of strands of DNA. I remember asking, like, I don't understand what this is. And she says, you don't have to. She showed me all of this again. And I didn't know what it was again, but she's just divulging all of this information to me and I'm just taking it in. And then I like walked around for a second and had the thing where I was outside praying to die because I got I got so uncomfortable. Like I couldn't stand how I felt. You can't escape it. You can't close your eyes. You can't open them. You can't walk away. You can't stand up. You can't sit down. You can't put water. Like, there's nothing you can do to escape this physical pain she's putting you through. You cannot get away from it, which is why you want to literally roll on the ground screaming.
Yeah.
You cannot take it anymore. So I had my whole Costa Rican Jesus helper come help me. As soon as he helped me, I went and lay down out for the rest of the night. What they call that is a nada. When you have a nada where you aren't participating, they say that you have to knock out because you're doing ancestral healing.
That's kind of beautiful too.
Yeah.
So,
dude, you got off easy that night.
Tell me about it. I was like, let the ancestral healing begin. Like, yeah, fucking put my ass out every fucking night, man. Yeah. Like,
ancestral healing tonight.
These bitches could use my help.
I'm ready for the ancestral healing.
These bitches could use my help, guys. Let me go back. So that's what happened that night, and I woke up when ceremony was over, and you know, that was pretty much the gist of that night. I prayed for death, but I didn't cross over anything. I simply prayed to die. So the third night, I had to shit all fucking night. Like every 20 seconds I had to shit. And
you shitting in a bucket?
No, you're shitting in the bathroom. There's like six bathrooms on site, but you're having to wait if there's people in the bathroom. So at one point I was like, fuck it. So I just went and sat on a stair in between two bathrooms. So that any point in time I was running for one of the bathrooms, and it never ended. It was, but it's not even like poop. It's like water poop.
Yeah.
So like you're just sitting there just, you get up and you're like, okay, I'm cool. 20 seconds later, like it's
damn, it
never
sounds like
ending.
When I did a fucking saltwater flush.
Yeah, exactly. Have you ever had like a your colonoscopy done and you have to drink that drink?
That's exactly what it was. Dude, I did like a like 32 ounces of warm salt water.
It's what it feels like. You just feel shit like gurgle down all through your intestines and then you just release.
It's like
and it
water.
Never fucking ends. But then you're like, I'm so sick of wiping my butthole, dude. Like, Jesus Christ.
I don't even have bidets.
Girl, it's not that fancy. It's not that fancy. And, oh, P.S., you can't flush toilet paper. So people are wiping their poopy butts.
Ew.
And you have to throw it in a trash can. A trash can in front of you. So while you're peeing.
It must smell amazing in there.
They have so many smelly things and they're constantly blowing smoke throughout the place.
So you didn't really smell
anything. So you can't really smell poo, I'll be honest. So anyway, I was pooping all kinds and I'm sitting outside with my bucket between my legs because between poops, I'm dry heaving. I'm not barfing, but like all of a sudden you'll be sitting there and then you're just like, but nothing comes out and you scream like that. Like you make that sound and every few seconds you'll just be sitting there and then you're like, and like it's terrible. So I was sitting outside having this, you know, stuff happen to me. And, one of these like really young little shaman girls who's clearly like brand new, she's like, hey, how are you? And I'm like, I'm good. And she's like, can I get you another cup? And I was like, no. And she's like, can I ask you why not? And I was like, yeah, because I don't want one. And then she goes, well, can I tell you a story? And I'm like, sure. And she, you know, I'm high, but I'm not like out of my fucking mind. I'm dealing with bodily functions that are kind of like making me have to focus.
Yeah.
And so she tells me the story about how one time she was sober after first cup and how she just needed the second cup to help her purge. And I'm like, thanks for the story. I've been shitting every 20 seconds. So I don't want any more right now. I'm good for the time being.
Yeah.
And like, and I was feeling great though. That's the thing. Like I felt so loving and so happy and I was so vibe in the universe. And, but
she's
like,
let me fuck you up.
You know what I mean? But I was just like going through that part, but yeah. So they really want you to keep taking. And in retrospect, I probably should have at that point taken another cup. But I was so dealing with this stuff that I just couldn't make myself go away from the bathroom, stand in line and get another cup of like mud butt and like do this again for the rest of the night. So I passed and I didn't do a second cup.
You're like, yeah, you have a diaper I could wear while I'm standing in line? Like,
and
fuck.
Are you going to like wipe me down up? Every time I poop in my diaper?
Exactly.
So But besides that, I also like continued to get these really intense visions. I like my mom came to visit me, and I knew like, and you know, Michael was asking me like, "Are you like how do you know?" And it's funny because I couldn't explain it to somebody else.
Yeah.
I could not explain what it feels because you have a feeling when you see your mom. And it's unique to your mother's energy. Mm-hmm. We all do, and our fathers and all of the people in our lives. The energy is unique. And you just know when you feel that energy.
Yep.
And even though I haven't seen my mom in 20 years because she passed away that long ago, I know my mother's energy. And I knew that she was around me. And then like I knew that I had other ancestors coming too. And I felt them all around me, blessing me and like welcoming me to the middle. I'm in the middle. I'm in limbo of spirit. And I was there for a while with them. And so like, I really like just loved that. And it was really like beautiful and wonderful. And like, honestly, one of the big reasons why I go and do this is because it's one of the ways that I get to connect to my ancestors, in a tangible, in my mind way.
Yeah.
So that happened and I continued again. I just danced in the moonlight. I spent a lot of time outside and under the stars, just thanking God for everything that I have. I felt inside like I needed to purge and I couldn't though. Like I knew I needed to cry.
Yeah.
I needed to cry. I didn't cry the whole week. All these things are happening to me and I couldn't cry.
Damn.
Like I was just smooth. I was just freaking like smooth rolling. Like all these things were happening, but for the most part, like I was just rolling with neutral. Stuff, staying rolling fairly neutral. And then night four, same thing. Like nothing crazy happened. I just had these beautiful blessings and like took the medicine and, you know, continued to enjoy the long ass night. Went to the fire, continued to, I put in the fire on the last night my fear that I don't want to be afraid of what's to come anymore. Like I want to make my decisions and all the things that I choose to do in this life out of love and desire. Rather than like survival anymore. Like I don't want to live that anymore. So that was really an intense thing for me also. And then I hadn't cried and I hadn't died by the end of this. And then the last day in breath work, boy.
You died?
This was outside of ceremony, right?
Outside of ceremony. This is the next day. You're sober, but you're not sober. Like, you know what I mean? Like you didn't take medicine that day, but this was after 4 days of taking it. Breathwork is really intense at this place too.
It's not like inside of a camp.
It's not where like Stacey's snoring and fucking Steve is farting out. And Melissa's pretending to do the breath work. No.
I sounded more like I was like doing Lamaze.
I was thinking about that. That's so funny.
I'll pass the fuck out. Dude. No, I'm awake. I'm awake.
Yeah, you know, that was amazing, Tess. That was such a great breath work.
They put me straight to sleep.
No, it's super duper intense actually. And like, so you feel like you're vibrating off the floor during this, like you get hallucinations. Like it's an intense breath work.
God damn.
Yeah. So
they don't do nothing easy there.
No, nothing is easy. So during this last breath work, another thing was I couldn't forgive the unforgivable. There was three things I was at. And I think that came along with the tears. Like I was getting to that point where I was healing my heart, but I couldn't forgive the unforgivable. And I was thinking about that. Forgive the unforgivable as all the people who hurt me and that I was having a hard time forgiving. And I couldn't cross that bridge. And during this last breath work, I ugly cried the whole fucking time.
I felt so good.
It did feel good. I needed it to happen, but it was heartbreaking and painful. I crossed over. Like I didn't physically die, obviously, but mentally I crossed over out of my body into spirit. And that was something that I really needed to have happen. And I realized that forgiving the unforgivable is myself, as I have not been able to forgive myself for things.
Come full circle from night one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Isn't it interesting too? I just kind of thought about this, is your body felt like you were on fire, and where it seems like you had the most breakthroughs was going to the fire and letting go of, you know?
Yeah, totally.
I don't know if that makes sense.
But. Yeah, yeah. Where you find your deepest pain is where you find your biggest release. Mm-hmm. Freedom is through the challenge. Freedom is through the pain, right? And so one of the intentions, because I had gone through all three that I asked on the final night of breathwork, was show me my purpose now. Like, now what do I do? You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I continue to like look for the truth, which is all within myself, right?
Work in the dental field.
And like, yeah, go work for corporate dental. That's the message that I got from Mama Ayahuasca. Yeah. And so they tell you that if you're wondering what your purpose is, that you may get a vision given to you. And you usually can look at your hand and you'll have an image in your hand. And that image is what you're supposed to do. And so without even, they told me that last year. I hadn't even thought about it. But during this breath work, I looked and I had an image in my hand. It was a big dick and like the hairiest balls ever.
That could mean so much stuff.
So guys, my first movie's coming out in 2 weeks. I found my purpose.
It was a blackbird in my hand. And yeah, I know that's super clear, right? You don't know what the fuck that means?
Singing in the dead of night.
You look confused.
I was like,
Stacey.
A pie? Like, I saw a pie. You're gonna make pies now?
So what did that symbolize?
I don't know. So I walked out of it and it was clear as fuck. Like it was very obvious that this was the thing. I didn't know what the fuck. So I, you know, came out and I talked to a couple people there and was just looking up the relevance of spiders as a spiritual animal or like guide. And I was looking at blackbirds and things like that. And ultimately what the blackbird represents is like the journey into the unknown, or the things that people aren't really wanting to like accept within themselves or things like that. Mm-hmm. So I think I was telling Melissa, like, this is very much something that I've always been about, and I think I've spent an entire lifetime working on without even knowing it sometimes, is the shadow work that we all should be doing within ourselves. Mm-hmm. Rather than pretending that we want to suppress all of our darker sides and just be happy, right? We're all just looking for happiness and mm-hmm. love, embracing these parts of ourselves, embracing some of that, because it's what makes us whole. It is the other side, and it doesn't have to be a bad thing. And as soon as we accept these things about ourselves, we truly like understand what the full picture is, right? So I think like ultimately one of my purposes is to help people understand their own shadow sides and their mm-hmm. own shadow work, and to even like find out somehow in my life how I can help spiritually guide people who want to be. Obviously, I'm not going to be like Jehovah's Witness knocking on the doors. Let me tell you about the blackbird
sir,
on my
sir,
hand.
Do you have a few minutes to talk about our Lord Savior, Jesus Christ? Yeah. Costa Rica, Jesus Christ.
Baby Jesus.
Let me tell you about it. Yeah. So, mm-hmm. yeah, it's
there's
not.
You guys can't see it, but there's all the pamphlets on the table.
I'm going to start drawing pictures and like, you know what I mean? Write my own, maybe I'll make my own Bible.
There you go.
I'd read it.
Yeah, I'd read it too, shit.
I'll make you fucking characters in that shit. But I do think that there are people who are looking for some of those answers that maybe I can help them with. And that was another thing, like at the end of ceremony, so many people were so confused by what had happened to them. And some people thought they hadn't been given messages or miracles, and they didn't know how to process through the information they gave. So a lot of them were like, Tess, like this is what was going on, and I'm frustrated and I'm feeling like I didn't get what I want. And I would just sit there and I was able to talk them through how they felt when they got there, what they went through, how they're feeling now. And I'm like, maybe it wasn't some like explosive miracle where you see some people that are now like frolicking, like, oh my God, I love her. Like, and you're sitting there like, fuck that bitch. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I get that.
That
envious, like, God, what the fuck did that chick go through that I missed? I must've missed that shit. Like, was that the fourth shot that I missed or something? But like, their message is given to them in ways they need to dig deeper for.
Yep.
And we can't miss those, right? Because those are the ones we're going to bring home with us. That feeling of like frolicking around is going to go away eventually. Yep. That's for damn sure. You know what I mean? As soon as you get home and you get in your car and you're stuck in fucking traffic, that feeling's going to go away a little bit. But those feelings of the messages you got that are relevant to who you are and who you are to become, like, those are the ones we have to figure out how to integrate.
Yeah, because that's what Lauren was saying when we talked about her, when I talked to her about her experience. She has a daughter who I think is like 7 now. And she said the second time she did it, she didn't give that exact, like, in my hand, but she said when she got to the part where it was like your purpose, it was all about her daughter. Like, her purpose was to be her mother.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. And she kept, that's why I think she's like, I mean, besides she's a mom being like obsessed with her kids, she's like, my literal purpose was to be Cadence's mom. You know?
Like,
that's crazy.
Yeah, you get messages that, like, and this is why I'm like such an advocate for psychedelics. You get messages in a direct way that you can spend years searching for through therapy, through meditation, and all these practices are really important. And as I'm looking at the aftermath of work, I will only be as wise and as connected as my practices are strong, as I believe in my spirituality. Mm-hmm. I can't waver in it. On my bad days where I fucking hate work and I want to, like, turn into the shittier side of me, the darker side of me where I want to start punching bitches in the face, which is frequently, like, period. I have to, like, remember who the fuck I am. And I could still want to punch bitches in the face. Yeah. You know what I mean?
It's totally normal to feel that
absolutely.
Way.
Absolutely. And it's part of this lifetime's personality of mine. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, like, that's always going to be the case. But deep down, I still have to have some love for them. And I also need to understand that this is a challenge. They're coming to me and being a fucking asshole and making me mad because this is an opportunity for me. And I'm always going to need to see it that way. Yeah. But I'm only going to get to do that if I stay in clear connection with spirit giving me messages of what I need to do. As soon as I forget that, I'm gonna be confused and lost again.
Yep. Yeah. And I think that people really don't, that's how you know you're having a breakthrough. And I don't think it's just getting older. It really is, like, in so many words, what you just said is doing the work.
Yeah.
You have to do the work every single fucking day.
And the work and changes.
Like, yeah, exactly. It's not just going to therapy. It's not just practicing yoga. Like, I don't just go see Heather, you know?
Yeah.
But, like, in a lot of my work with her too, the same kind of, like, narrative has been, you have this image of yourself that you're, like, this girl that handles things by, like, beating bitches up. Mm-hmm, and maybe that's who you were in your early 20s.
To survive.
And when you're a teenager, she's like, well, besides last year, but she was like, she's like, that's not how you handle things. You wouldn't have gotten ahead in life as far as you've gone if you're going around putting your hands on people. But, like, we have a similar personality in that way where I think about that, where it's like, it's easy to fall back to that way of thinking, and that's totally okay, but we're not doing it.
And it's not a real thing we're going to do.
Be doing it. Yeah. Exactly.
It's almost a release. It's a vent of temper. We have tempers. And that's part of having a temper, is having a verbal, like, poo. It's like taking a shit and barfing and all the stuff I did there. Me saying I'm going to punch someone in the face is just a fucking purge so that I can make space for the love that's going to come after when I calm the fuck
I love how you fucking said that, because I feel like I am all about spiritual work, but I'm not going to sit and pretend I'm some, like, fucking fluffy ass bitch, you know? And I think it's so trendy now to be spiritual and energy healers and do the work and all this shit we're saying, but, like, it's okay to also be who the fuck you are. Not everybody, we're not getting on here. I'm not trying to get on here and be a fucking hippie all the time and pretend like life doesn't happen. And that's why I like talking to you, because you have a personality like me.
Yeah.
Like, and you get frustrated and it's going to be fucking hard, right? Yeah. Like, you just put yourself through, like, a physical and emotional and mental boot camp to be better. And you're still fucking test sitting right in front of us.
And being someone's favorite person and kind and gentle isn't always the best thing for them. Yeah. Being hard sometimes is how you help people. Not all the time. Sometimes it's not. You know what I mean?
It depends on
the person and the circumstance. You know what I mean? But there are times that some people need that. And we can be that, because we're all different and we all offer different. That's like what being in a community and in a friendship and in a relationship with anybody is.
Yep.
Is you've got to be able to tell each other the truth and to uplift each other.
Yeah.
And sometimes that uplifting hurts.
Yeah. You have to be. I feel like we just posted something about this, but it basically was like, you need those friends who are going to tell you the truth about yourself when you're not willing to look at the truth.
Yes.
And, like, for me, I feel like I'm a truth teller and I'm, like, brutally honest sometimes. And I don't feel like I could even have people around me that don't do that for me.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Because I fuck up. Like, I fuck up a lot all the time.
And I've been meaning to talk to you about that.
And, like, I need people.
So
that
after
call
this,
me
there's actually an intervention for you that's really what this is about.
You.
Yeah. Yeah. So are you guys ready to do this?
Okay. You were wondering why there were so many people in the room today.
This is why this is really in person this time.
Oh shit. This is getting real. But no, I think it is important to surround yourself with people that are going to tell you the truth about yourself in my experience, I like you 100% are one of those friends. Obviously you, I think that the people in our lives that fall off sometimes aren't at that place with themselves mm-hmm. yet where they want to hear the truth about themselves. And I love, besides the fact that you agreed to come on here with a raw butthole and like give us the fucking truth straight out the gate, you know, you are one of those friends. I can speak on behalf of both of us is that you do really like push us to be better versions of ourselves. And you're always, what's the fucking word I'm looking for? Where you're always going to see both sides. You're never going to be like, no, Stacey, you're right. You'd be like, yo, no, you fucking handled that wrong.
That's one of my favorite things.
And
about
I appreciate life about, is about complicated that so as much.
Fuck. Life is complicated as fuck. And there are a million variables to every situation. And that's the thing. There is no right or wrong way to take life.
Mm-hmm.
It's just,
it's a learning process.
Is what outcome do you want out of it? You know what I mean? And yeah. Like, no one knows. I don't fucking know anything. We don't know anything.
We don't know shit.
Yeah.
But that's the thing that's nice about this is people listening to this, they could hear your story and decide maybe they've been on the fence and they're like, it yeah. doesn't sound like it's for me. And they take a different route spiritually. Yeah. Or you could be pushing someone over the edge, you know, yeah. like, no, I want to do this. And I want to shit my pants.
I think it is for everybody, but I don't think it's for everybody at any time in their
yep.
life.
Yep.
That's what I'm going to say.
Yeah.
I think that you have, you shouldn't necessarily go from like, I am just now asking myself who I am to doing this. I mean, you could, you're not going to die. It's just going to be a rougher ride.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like anybody, nobody dies doing this. It's just really fucking hard.
Yeah.
You know, but I think that like if you've done some of the work and you're really like you think you're ready to take on the challenge, there's nothing but glory on the other side.
Glory and glory hole.
Yep. Yep.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's nothing but positives at the end of the day. With
you
this.
Literally feel lighter in all ways.
I feel like I get reminded of why I'm alive. When I go and do Damn. This, I feel like I get reminded of why I'm alive and like how precious life is.
Yeah. And
we
and
forget
fast.
It and fast.
And fast. So fast.
Totally. And the things that we spend our times worrying about and like filling our lives with and like feeling bad about and like being miserable. They're so stupid.
Yeah.
They're none so fucking matters. Stupid.
They really are.
None of it really matters.
None of us will take that on in, with us into another lifetime.
We're not even going to take it into next year, probably.
Yeah.
That's fucking real, dude.
Like,
yeah,
you know?
Some shit, some people don't, or some things, people, experiences don't even survive the whole year. You know,
yeah.
It just is what it is.
Totally.
Keep it moving.
And don't be mad about it. Like, it's all good. Mm-hmm. That everything is all good. You know?
What a beautiful way.
I think that next time we see Tess, she's going to be the next baby Jesus.
Hey, if she walks in a fucking monk robe, I'm going to die.
I'm following. I already told Tess already. I would follow her ass anywhere.
I do have a psychedelic like robe. I can wear that
so
and fan
after this,
you.
Are we
so
all
next time
take
we take
shrimp?
Psychedelics. Yeah. Yeah. I'll fan you and wear my psychedelic robe.
Hey.
I'll show up for you that way.
Blacklight fucking Casey's and Melissa's house out.
That sounds amazing.
Come over here,
actually,
there's a fucking furry mushroom poster. I'm like, wow, you guys really took this to the next level. Yes.
That sounds fucking amazing.
I know, right? Black light, like,
yeah,
over.
Yeah. But I can't wait to go back next year and do this shit again and see what happens.
Damn. I mean, if you want to shit your pants, I can make some food
you
right
know?
Now.
You never know what's gonna happen.
Wow. Well, thanks, babe. This is amazing. I don't have any more.
You guys are
questions.
Amazing.
You're amazing.
Either. Do you have anything else you want to share about it?
No, that's it.
No, that was it.
That's my
no,
story.
That was beautifully yeah. said, everything. That was really inspiring.
Yeah.
For real.
We
love you
guys. So much.
Yeah,
love you guys.
I know. It's been a journey, I think, even in our friendship. So I think that I appreciate you so much and your honesty and beauty. And like, you're the least judgmental person I've ever met. Like, you really just will accept people mm-hmm. as they come and... You don't put up with people's bullshit, and when people are rude or disrespectful, it's like you're this advocate, you're this warrior for the people that you love or care about. And
you're
so,
a down ass bitch.
Definitely love you for that.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much. We love you.
A beautiful mess. Life is a beautiful mess. A beautiful mess.